Very happy to have with us right now an outstanding NFL writer for USA Today and a great friend, Jarrett Bell. Jarrett, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Vic, how are you?
Outstanding, my friend, and wanted to start with where we last were together, and that was at Chicago at the league meetings where Jimmy Haslam was approved as the majority owner of the Cleveland Browns. And I want your thoughts on the impact you think he can make. As you know, this is someone who's been part of this league initially with a minority share of the Pittsburgh Steelers, but now he gets to take over his own team and a guy really that the NFL, I know, was looking forward to having in the league.
Yeah, and you know, I think that kind of gives him an advantage on the learning curve, the fact that he had a minority stake in the Steelers, so it's not totally new to him. It is undoubtedly a new experience being the majority owner, but he's had a taste of it. And I'm sure he has had a chance to kind of visualize how he would do things if he, you know, had a majority share. So now that's there. You take that and you combine that with his business experience, and I really like his personality and his energy. So, you know, I felt something just from meeting him and being at the press conference and kind of observing a little bit.
Right.
I think he's going to be so good for the Browns because, A, he's really committed and really committed. And I think he's going to bring some of the best practices, if you will, from the business world to, you know, help deal with the Browns. Now, the big thing will be the football operations. And that was one of the things that he said that was pretty impressive. He says, hey, all the things we can do to enhance the fan experience or, you know, upgrade the stadium, et cetera, all of that is well enough, but we've got to have a winning product on the field. So I think that's what remains to be seen, obviously.
And, Jarrett, how do you look? We've both seen this league for a long time. We've watched different people run football teams, and talking about it from the ownership level, and some much more successful than others. If you had to point to a common, I guess the word is formula, a thread, with those that have been successful, what do you think that is? What are the kinds of things that you think a Jimmy Haslam could do now with bringing in Joe Banner also as the CEO that they can do to make this a better and more, a team that just has success, which is something it really hasn't had any of since coming back in the league in 1999 in Cleveland?
Well, I think the key thing is to really have a strong person in charge of the football operations who knows what he's doing. See, it's one thing to say you've got someone in charge of it, but if this person really doesn't know the nuances to the game, and I'm talking about personnel, really, I think you can just kind of spin your wheels, okay? So the structure has been there for a lot of teams where you have an owner who's hands-off, and he lets the GM do his job, lets the coaches do their jobs without, you know, meddling, if you will. But sometimes that formula is not good enough because the people who are calling the shots are not as adept as they need to be on the football side of it. So I think that's the tricky thing, but the formula is there. Now, you've got some other owners like, obviously, Jerry Jones in Dallas, who has his hands in everything with the organization, including the football, and it hasn't worked very well for them compared to, you know, how it worked his first few years when Jimmy Johnson was still there. That's the football side. But from the business side, you know, Jerry Jones is a Hall of Famer, okay,
right,
because of what he's been able to do from the marketing standpoint and you know, monetizing his franchise, which was already a high-profile franchise. So I guess if I had to say what I'd want is, you know, if I'm a guy with a team or if I'm a fan of a team, you know, I want the guy to make sure he gets the right football person in place. And then if you can have your influence as an owner in other ways, even in just, you know, setting the agenda for the organization, we're going to be aggressive, we're going to be classy, whatever, yeah, you want that too.
And it has to be the right choices, as you say, because there are owners of teams that I think have provided all kinds of resources, right, to the football side to make it work, but maybe just haven't had the right people running it there. I mean, Daniel Snyder, maybe this is he's finally got the right combination. We'll see, though, with Mike Shanahan there. But, you know, you think of Robert Kraft as really ideally having that success with Bill Belichick in New England as the role, as the model, if you will, of the whole league.
Yeah, and, you know, if you talk to Kraft about it, he'll tell you that, you know, he had Pete Carroll for a while, okay?
Yeah.
That didn't work. He had Bill Parcells, which worked to a degree, but it did not work to the point where they were comfortable with each other. And so, yeah, he struck gold with Bill Belichick. I mean, so that's what you want. And maybe it does take a little bit of luck sometimes to get that right person, and sometimes you really don't know if that person is the right person until you go through it. But I think there are enough people who have track records that you can try to attract a certain type of person, and you can kind of go on that to a degree. But in some cases, you really don't know until you see it. And in Cleveland's case with Joe Banner, I think the good thing is that Banner has obviously grown up in the league, and he knows people, he knows operations, he knows not as much about football as a general manager or personnel person will, but from what I've been told, he's very good at learning from people, learning the nuances of what each particular person in each particular role in the organization does. So so I think that's something to work with, but we'll see how it really shakes down as they go forward.
Jared Bell from USA Today covers the NFL, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Jared, Mike Holmgren, the outgoing president of the Browns, he met with the media earlier this week, and one of the things that really stood out in the stuff he talked about was just never really disconnecting from coaching, how much he missed that, and not really realizing how much he was going to miss it when he accepted the president's role in 2010. He leaves here feeling, of course, unfulfilled because the team didn't have the on-field success that Randy Lerner expected it to have when he hired Mike Holmgren to that role. But how do you see his overall legacy? And he's left the door open, as you know, Jared, to possibly come back as a coach and see what his next thing is. He didn't necessarily say that he is completely riding off into the sunset.
Yeah, you know, that's funny because it's like once it's in your blood, it's there, especially as a coach. I mean, you know, players, I think, you know, sometimes, you know, the bodies don't hold up. But for a coach, man, I mean, you've seen Bill Parcells come back a number of times. So it would not surprise me if Mike Holmgren recharged his batteries and gave it another shot at some point. I think his legacy is going to be obviously, you know, what he did in Green Bay and even taking Seattle to a Super Bowl as a success with the 49ers. So he is a coach first. I mean, that's it. Mike Holmgren is a coach. He's an offensive coach. He's a quarterback's groomer. That's his thing. But, you know, when you started the question, Vic, I kind of chuckled to myself because I remember talking to Mike Holmgren, like, right after he started in Cleveland and him telling me pretty much the same thing that, hey, I'm still a coach at heart. I've got to be careful not to step on my coach's toes,
right,
and so on and so forth. But there's still some value in that when you start talking about the personnel and where you want to go with an organization. I mean, he's a great resource to have. But, I think Mike Holmgren had to stop himself from going down on the sidelines many times with the Browns.
Yeah, he admitted it. It was very tough. He was champing at the bit, you know, to be up in that press box and not be able to affect what was going on in the game and his natural tendency, you know, working with the quarterbacks that he did in San Francisco, Joe Montana, Steve Young, that he wanted and had, by the way, and has had those conversations with the likes of Brandon Whedon and Colt McCoy, you know, during this time that he's had with the Browns. Speaking of quarterbacks, and you know, I mentioned Whedon's name, but the other guy that, of course, whose name will always be connected with the Browns to the extent that, you know, he was a guy that they made an effort to try to get in a trade or try to get the pick to get the trade from the St. Louis Rams and weren't able to make that deal happen. The Redskins did, and they got Robert Griffin III. I know you're going to see him this weekend against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Your impressions of the impact he's made so far and what you sort of see as the whole dynamic RG3 story.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that really strikes me, and Vic, I haven't seen this kid play in a game yet this season, so I'm excited to get a chance to see him play against the Steelers on Sunday. I mean, that's a tough team to go against, and Dick LeBeau defenses and confusing blitzes and all that stuff. But, right. I mean, that's what happens in the NFL, so you have to go through it. I've seen him in practices and mini camps and training camp and all that, so let me just preface it by saying I haven't seen the kid play a full game yet, but I know the impact. He has just really energized the entire franchise. And when you know you have a quarterback who is good enough to win with, I think the ripple effect on the entire organization is tremendous. I mean, the Indianapolis Colts are really lucky that you get to follow Peyton Manning with Andrew Luck, okay? Because it didn't have to happen that way. I mean, a lot of things had to happen for them to get the number one pick. And so when you have a quarterback who can do that, it's, you know, it sets the course. It gives you a foundation. So the Redskins have that. One of the things that I know about what they're doing with the Redskins and as they bring along RG3, you know, this commitment to the running game is still there for Mike Shanahan. You remember Mike Shanahan in Denver, always had that downhill rushing attack. Well, he still has that, but he's expanded it now with the RG3 package with the spread option. So he's actually got two running games in one. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how that meshes. I was in Carolina last week, Vic, and I saw the Panthers and Cam Newton play the Cowboys. And the one thing that I was not impressed with the Panthers was the fact that there was too much spread option running game. And I think D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart have gotten lost in that offense because, remember, these guys both rushed for over 1,100 yards, 3 years ago? They were like double trouble and all that stuff.
Yep.
They were in that power offense, I formation, go pound you, and now they're in this spread option. When they get the ball, boom, they're smothered immediately. With the defenses kind of catching up to that. So I think Carolina, with their situation, really needs to balance out what they do spread option, whereas Washington has already started it from the premise that they're going to have some of the classic Mike Shanahan downhill rushing attack in addition to the spread option. And I haven't even mentioned RG3 as a passer, 70% the completion rate.
Yeah.
For a rookie, sharp kid who gets it. I was out at Redskin Park yesterday. I mean, he's so comfortable with the media and with the spotlight, says the right thing. The teammates like him. He's a very down-to-earth kind of guy, so you like that part of him. And then the speed.
Right.
Okay. So a lot of stuff to work with.
Interesting. Well, I appreciate that and everything else you've contributed to us. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, Jarrett, and we will talk again down the line, my friend.
Okay, Vicky, take care.
He is Jarrett Bell from USA Today joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.